This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what's up, people? Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez, hanging in the studio with the international superstar, Zach Amico. What's up, baby?
Hey, baby. How you doing?
I like you calling me baby back. Can we just call each other baby for the whole show?
You got it, baby.
All right, baby. Let's do this. Also in studio, what good timing that was, Tinkle. I got to tell you right now because, I pull the curtain aside. I'm a real ass dude. It's a real ass show. We let the real ass fans know what's up. Right. Tinkle just sat down.
Yeah, that's right.
But we didn't even have to tell you that. It was just perfect timing because as soon as you switched the camera angle, boom, you're already there.
Oh, is it really? No shit.
Yeah, good time. So you know what, Tinkle? You are not late. Tinkle's on time.
Yeah. Woo. This is horseshit.
Scopo's so mad.
This is horseshit.
You're 2 minutes late.
It's all right, baby.
All right, baby. I got you, baby.
You're
not in on the baby, Scopo.
I don't want to be a baby. Okay. I don't want to be a baby. I'm not a baby.
He got so mad. I was like, oh, Tinkle's going to be 2 minutes late. And he goes, oh, dude.
You're yelling at Tinkle.
And I had explained to Scopo, no, Tinkle's late once in a blue.
No. He's late. I would say out of a month, at least twice.
No.
Yes.
No. I'd say once.
Hey, asshole, I'm gone like twice.
He doesn't care
about the show. That's okay. That's a different issue.
I at least care.
Yeah,
I can't get here on time.
Dodging Lewis's phone calls and being late are two different things. Completely different. They're not in the same ballpark. Karma, baby.
All right, look, man, we got a great show today. Very excited. Really quickly, let me get this out of the way, guys. If you're a fan of this show and any of the other shows on the Gas Digital Network, the SDR show, the Dave Smith's Part of the Problem, or the brand new High Society Radio, which is so funny. I listened to their show last night. Hilarious show. Please go support all those other shows. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us reviews. All that good stuff. But also, we have t-shirts. Me and Scopo are both wearing the t-shirt. There we go. Boom.
I got to say, very comfortable shirt.
Solid shirt.
Very comfortable.
Solid shirt. Real Ass Dude shirts are available for just a low, low price of $24, guys. So go buy a Real Ass Dude shirt. Show your Real Ass support as well. Couple things about the network. We are so close, guys. The website is 90% there. We are in negotiations with three other huge podcasts right now. So hopefully more news will be coming, but please go support the shows. We will be launching the website in a
couple
weeks.
Come on, guys, we fucked. Those two whores on the show.
All right, so look, man, before we even get into today's show, we have a great show planned, okay? We're all friends on this show. We really are. It's not like, you know, obviously Gas Digital has a lot of money, but we're not paying everyone a lot of money to be here. We do it because we love each other and we care about each other and we hang out a lot.
And we have nothing better going on.
Nothing else going on. Zach Amico is a fucking weirdo. I just found this out. We're friends.
But you just found he's a weirdo?
But I'm finding out more and more little weird nuances about Zach.
Anything Zach does, I'm like, oh, okay, I can see it.
So Lewis hasn't noticed my anxiety issues yet.
No, really.
And that I'm a weirdo, like, as far as...
I noticed that you're a weirdo. I'm just saying there's little quirks that are actually even weirder than I thought. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. Obviously, you're bisexual. That's weird. You could put a piercing in your dick. That's weird. You look like that. That's weird. All that's weird. But this is what he did today. We go to 7-Eleven to grab a cup of coffee. Right before I walk into 7-Eleven, Zach, he already had a seltzer water. So he's like, dude, I'm going to wait outside in the cold. And I'm like, why? He's like, because I already have the seltzer water. I don't want to go in and have them, like, accuse me of stealing it. And I'm like, what?
No, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. You're not black. Why would they do that?
Yeah, it does.
No,
I got a lot of
surprisingly suspicious looking to deli and convenience.
Oh, dude, you don't think it? Dude, it looks like he would take a fucking Kit Kat and put it in his pocket. Easy, dude.
They already think I have a ham down the front of my shirt.
But you're also
easy, dude.
But you're also white, so it'd be like check the cameras.
I've gotten caught for shoplifting before, and it sucks so much.
But did you actually shoplift?
Yes, that time.
But you didn't shoplift this time.
This is the point, though. You're not shoplifting. You're just walking in with a soda. And look, I understand what you're saying. This is a vast difference between a personality type like mine or a personality type like you guys. Okay, I would be praying for them to accuse me of stealing. I would pray to the fucking God that some 7-Eleven employee would say that I stole just so I could fucking throw it in his face that I didn't steal and make him look stupid.
Check
in front
the cameras
of his
right now. Let's go.
I would call him racist. I would be up in arms. I would act like his way bigger of a deal than what it actually was. Yeah.
I don't want to deal with any of those things.
Yeah, I don't want to like waste a fucking hour so some asshole can like go in the back and watch a videotape and not figure out how it works, and then I got to wait for some
other guy to come. Let me tell you something. What are they going to do? They're not going to fucking tackle you, even if you are shoplifting. They're going to, oh, you're shoplifting. They're like, go fuck yourself, Habib. Get the fuck out of my face. And you walk out.
You should hold the seltzer water in your hand as they see, you know, I have this in my hand right now. Nothing's
going
on.
That was the other thing. You could have just walked in and been like, hey, guys, I already had this when I walked in, as you walked in. But you opted to stand out in the cold because you did not want human interaction that much.
You got it. Yeah. Well, it was also unopened.
Oh, well, there you go. If it's not open, then yes.
See, that's definitely that's part of the case we didn't hear about yet.
They will definitely ask him, though.
But still, it was like fresh.
And you're walking in, I mean, it's really hard to be like,
but why are we so afraid of being asked? Who gives a shit?
Because you don't want to go through the whole thing. That's why. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, just don't want to go through the whole rigmarole.
I've had like a water.
Anything that rhymes with the N-word will just make Scopo laugh like a child.
No, that was the Impractical Jokers, the thing, the rigmarole of the scene. Okay. So I've walked in with like a water bottle in my pocket, and it's like half, and they're like, oh, you have the water too. I'm like, no, I paid for it. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, I paid for it somewhere else. And they fucking have the whole process.
Do you know how little I'm afraid of deli employees calling me a thief? If the line is too long, I will just walk out with whatever I want. Fuck them. Fuck 7-Eleven. Do you not know how it works? Unless there's a cop there, they can't actually do anything. All they can do is watch you steal their shit and go, oh, you have to stop. They can't legally put their hands on you.
Yeah, just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some. I mean, I don't know if it's out here, but on the West Coast, Rite Aid and like CVS and those places, dude, they have guys who sit by the cameras nonstop, and they will fuck people up. Dude, I saw this girl talking to. She stole something. Then she was like, she looked really like regular, kind of hot. She was on the phone with her friend, and this guy, and she put something in her purse, and this guy walked out, grabbed her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're fuck. And she was just like such a whore, like you're fucking touching me. Hey, this guy's touching me. And then he like grabbed the thing out of her purse.
Yeah.
And then like she got caught. And then her phone's on the ground. She's like yelling at her friend to the phone on the ground.
Yeah.
Call the cops. It was awesome. And he just beat her up, dude, pretty much. He, like, grabbed her and like shook her. Like, yeah. It was like almost like they had a.
That's
a
free beat. Now imagine how embarrassing that is when it's a guy in a Scarface shirt at a Duane Reade. And that's what happened to me.
Imagine him trying to shake.
You know what's like when a guy in one of those Scarface shirts that goes down to their knees, he goes, man, do you know the difference between right and wrong?
Oh, man.
No.
Yeah.
Take a look, fuckface.
So hold on. What did you get caught stealing, Zach?
Oh, it gets worse.
This is
going to be good. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I want to know what you stole.
I was 19, and I got caught.
19 is also too old to be stealing.
Yes.
Please say it was like lipstick or something like that.
Eyeliner.
Oh, fuck.
Of course.
And then the guy for 10 minutes goes, all right, where's the girl? I was like, what? He goes, the girl you stole this for, is she outside? I was like, it's for me. He goes, no, where's the girl? I was like, it's for me.
He should just let you have it.
Yeah.
You got enough problems already.
Yeah, seriously. I've been caught stealing before too. We used to steal from the Palisade Center Mall. My buddy worked at Modell's, so he gave us like a key to take off all of the like the things on the shoes, the tags.
Yeah.
So we would just go in and we would steal like 10 pairs of shoes at the exact same time and walk out in shopping bags. And I knew, because I worked at Hot Topic, I knew that you weren't allowed to put your hands on shoplifters. So I always had this confidence, like, what the fuck could they do? They can't put their hands on you, but they can grab your bag.
Yeah.
So one time I'm walking out with fucking like 6 pairs of sneakers in a bag, because the guy who owned the pizzeria we worked at would just give us sizes, and then he'd sell them for like 40 or 50 bucks a pair to his friends and give us like 20 bucks a pair. So we were just fucking robbing this mall like blind. And as I walked out, this dude just grabbed the bag out of my hand, and we had like a tug of war with the bag. It ripped. And here's what really sucked. I had a nice pair of JNCO jeans in the bag to give it weight, because you have to walk around with like a weighted bag. It can't be an empty bag.
Yeah.
So I lost my JNCO jeans.
Nice.
Lost my JNCO jeans, guys.
And did you still work at the same mall?
No. I worked there for like 2 weeks and got fired. And I was like, guys, we don't need to work here. We could just rob this place blind. Yeah. Scopey, ever been caught shoplifting?
No, I never shoplifted.
You never shoplifted?
Never, no. Ever?
You've never?
I mean, like little candies when I was a kid. Like, I remember at deli, they used to have bins with like caramel candies, something like that. I used to take a couple of those, but never nothing like serious. Yeah. And my brother got his ass beat by my parents when he was like 14 or 15. He stole batteries from Costco.
Right.
And they caught him and they banned him from Costco for life. They put him on a wall.
And the Scopo family, they go to Costco every 2 weeks. You know that.
I mean, Costco's a big deal in the Scopo family. You see just how cheap you can get those?
They fill up the SUV with toilet paper and Rice Krispies.
It's fantastic. Fantastic. And then my dad beat the shit out of my brother. And then I was like, yeah, I'm never shoplifting in my life.
Yeah. That's, look, you know, obviously, I don't believe in beating the shit out of your kids, but.
I mean, he didn't beat the shit. He hit him a few times.
Yeah.
He
I believe in beating the shit out of your dad's kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of want to beat the shit out of your parents for having you.
Oh, okay.
So, Yeah, okay. So you know, we're not really a shoplifter. As a little kid, I think I was more afraid to shoplift. It's so funny because when you're a little kid, you know, I was really afraid of getting caught, my mom finding out or kicking my ass. But what's funny is my mom, and I told this on the show, I think, last week. My mom used to have me steal testers for her from, like, we'd go to, like...
Your mom was your Obi-Wan.
Yeah, we'd go to Duane Reade, and she'd be like, oh, steal these testers for me. And if you get caught, tell them it's your mom's birthday and you didn't have any money to buy or anything. She told me, like, a cute story to get out of it, too. My mom was, like, just a shitty mom. But under my mom's supervision, I would steal. I would never go into a deli and just steal a candy bar when I was a kid. I was terrified of that. But I started getting more and more ballsy as I got into my teen years. And I was just a fucking thief. Yeah. Thief. Have you been caught stealing before, Chris?
No, I haven't been caught. When I was in college, I kind of had the same kind of thing you had going. Like, I worked at this album store. Hey, guys, remember those fucking CDs, DVDs? I used to work at one of those places. And I had a friend who worked at Abercrombie, another friend who worked at this other clothing store. Basically, we had like this little crime syndicate. And we would all ask each other what we wanted. And then we would just steal each other's shit. So, like... everybody was stealing everything, and I had every fucking box set, like, of any fucking HBO show. I had all that, and I never got caught. I mean, I would do stuff when I was in high school. Like, my friend, he worked at, like, some video game place, and I gave him, like, $100 at school, and then he, like, told me to come in. He just pushed a Sega Genesis over the thing and then handed me, like, 3 games. And so that kind of shit, but I never... I mean, I would do stuff that was like that, but never...
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really give a shit. If people steal, you know... I think there's like a social contract there. If you steal, you get caught, you go to jail, and that's that. So I don't have any moral issues with people stealing. I don't really even technically have moral issues with people stealing from small businesses. Everyone's always says like, oh yeah, if you go into like a big, huge business, nobody really cares. I don't know. There's worse things in the world that people could be doing besides fucking stealing. If you don't want your shit stolen, don't fucking let it get stolen. That's what I say. That's what I say. Right, Scopes?
Luis J. Gomez quote right there.
Yeah, there we go.
When I worked at the movies, I used to make trash bags full of popcorn and then mark them and put them out with the rest of the trash and send my friends and tell them which bag was just full of fresh popcorn.
Oh, okay.
You need to dream bigger. Damn it, dude. Fucking A. What a waste of a good scam.
Man. No, it ruled. It was
dude,
awesome.
One time I saw 4 boxes of snow caps.
Yes.
They were delicious.
A giant trash bag full of popcorn? That's a lot of popcorn.
I could tell, Zach. I know.
That makes Zach's weak right there.
Zach just walking around with a trash bag full of popcorn around the mall. Just
the Homer Simpson portion.
All right, really quick. I want to get into some of this shit. All right, what do we want to talk about first? The Cinderblock Festival. I don't want to spend too much time on that because we talked about it on Legion of Skanks. But I wanted to talk about this other article that Allison Klemp posted. I got into another Facebook argument with her.
Who's that?
Allison Klemp. She came on the show. Remember the chick?
Oh, the worst guest I've ever heard on any podcast
ever,
right?
Yeah, she was pretty bad, yeah.
And I would still fist her. Go ahead, proceed.
Yeah, she's hot. No, I mean, no, she's not hot. Let me say this. Hold on. This is the problem. She's pretty cute for a comic, and we just go by those standards.
She's the prettiest waitress at fucking IHOP.
Yeah. So this article she posted, and she posted it under the title, This is Important, and it's what it's really like to work in Hollywood. You can pull it up, Maddie. If you're not a straight white male. And then,
oh, yeah, because we got it so fucking tough.
Yeah, so we got a... so they have a bunch of people. Sam Esmail, Wendell Pierce, Jimmy Smits, Ken Jeong, Justin Lin.
Jimmy Smits is fucking white, basically.
No, he's Hispanic,
and he's
right?
Hispanic, but yeah, he gets dope, white roles. Dude.
Hey, mommy.
He's white enough to play a cop for 20 years.
Yeah, like, he's not struggling.
But here's the thing, it's not... these aren't real struggles in general. This is my problem. Just even before we even talk about what these people said, they're minority and women actors and actresses, and they talk about these little anecdotal times where they've experienced racism in Hollywood. Welcome to fucking life.
Yeah.
It's not Hollywood. It's life. I've experienced racism in fucking KFC, working at KFC. You've experienced racism if you work on Wall Street. And it goes both ways. It goes with Hispanic and black people being racist towards white people, toward each other, toward Asians. Racism is just a thing in life. And if you're looking for these little biases and you're looking for these things in any area of life, you're going to fucking find them. So just even beginning with this, I go, I just kind of hate it in general. I hate when minorities are looking for the reason why it's unfair to them. This is the entertainment industry. It's not supposed to be fair. Not everybody's supposed to make it. One of the quotes that really just it bugged me. Kim Jong, who the creator and star of Dr. Ken, he was...
Ken Jong.
Who?
That's Kim, not
Kim
Jong.
Ken Jong,
Kim Jong-un is the guy from North Korea.
Kim Jong-un. This is what he said. A UCLA acting professor gave me good marks in my performance and said, you're a good actor, which is why I'm telling you, stay the hell out of LA. There's not much of a future for you. Go to Asia. I got an A. He was saying that out of respect. It, in most cases, to be honest, that was good advice. That was good advice. He was like, yeah, dude, they're not casting Asians in leading roles. You could go be rich if you go to Asia. You're an amazing actor.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad advice. I'm saying, yeah, you stayed in Hollywood and you made a career for yourself, but to say that you experienced some sort of like, you know, somebody wronged you in any way, it's like, no, you had a good professor giving you good advice saying, hey, dude.
Oh, was he saying that was wrong? Because, I mean,
yeah.
It didn't seem like, oh, really? Oh, it didn't seem like he was saying it like in that kind of context.
Well, that's, you know,
and then he went with all the dignity and non-stereotypical roles he could, obviously.
That's exactly.
As shown by his role in the fucking Hangover, where he might as well have a fucking hat and bow every line.
Yeah, I mean, dude.
He should have the fucking...
Everything he does is like that, yeah.
Well, yeah, but that, American Film, let me read this quote as well. I was 18 and putting myself on tape for a movie I really wanted. I got that phone call. They cast a Latino male in another role for the film. They're not looking to cast a Latina as well. So I finally bleached my hair blonde, painted my face white, and made the audition tape. I never heard back. I just remember feeling so powerless. What do you do when somebody says, your color skin is not what we're looking for?
Who said this?
America Ferrera. The girl who had a TV show because she's Hispanic.
Yeah.
She was a star of a TV show, became a millionaire because of the color of her skin.
Yes.
Please, can we interview a bunch of not successful brown people and hear about their struggles? All of these people on this list, they've been casted in roles because of their race. As a Hispanic man, there are a lot of opportunities afforded to me because I'm Hispanic. I don't look at the percentage of Hispanics that are being booked in leading roles in Hollywood. I would never even look at that. I would never try to find that stat and go, look how unfair it is. My mind, I go, all right, I got to become better. I got to become a better actor, better comic, funnier. I have to work harder. I have to work smarter. I have to do everything that I have to do in order to get myself there. And the truth of the matter is, as a Hispanic man, I have a fucking lot of opportunities afforded to me. You, it sucks to be you.
Dude, it's even worse. I know.
On every level.
But that's like my morning prayer. Every morning I get up and I kneel by my bed and I say that. And then I do one sit-up.
Dear God, please make me black.
Please
can a bus just hit me after lunch? Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least that way you get in lunch.
Yeah. But the truth is, being a white guy in... I mean, comedy, I mean, I shouldn't say Hollywood because I don't work in Hollywood. I work in comedy and I go on auditions when I can. But being a white guy in the comedy community, it's a fucking real disadvantage right now.
Dude, I can't tell you how many people who are like, you know, who are really high up in comedy have told me that before. Like, it sucks that you're just a funny white dude.
Yeah.
It sucks for you. And I'm
like, do we really think Aziz Ansari is a comedy voice of our generation? Like, fucking very honestly? True. Or do we think that there's a fucking bajillion people that look like him that want to go see him because they can connect to him?
I completely think that's okay, too. But to
And there's nothing wrong with that, but Aziz Ansari is not Kurt Metzger.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new thing. I was talking to my buddy yesterday in L.A., and he had an audition. His agent took away the audition. Because he's like, he probably wasn't going to get the role, but they want him to audition. But they're like, now 50% of all cast that are going to go out have to be minority. So there's a new thing.
That
so now
thing
the
right
white,
there,
they were like, listen, you're probably not going to get it. We're not even going to audition you. In the past, they would have auditioned him anyway, just to fucking show
And you might have been able to win over the room, get the casting director to want to fuck you, and just get the part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The problem is, and this is my problem with Alison Klemp posting that and her going like, this is important. I'm going like, wait a minute. This is like directors... people who make movies, people who write movies, people who are acting in movies, this is our world, right? We're creating things. This is all of our world, okay? So you're saying you want the government to come in and put regulations on our fucking art. If you're an artist, if you want more brown people in your movie, Allison, go write a movie with all brown people. Write the next fucking Madea. You know what I'm saying? That's a beautiful
thing.
Don't
do that.
I would rather her do that than say, hey, we need to make sure that every star of every movie is represented by every race. Here's the cool part about just the entertainment movies. The entertainment industry, movies, TV shows, comedy in general, it's still somewhat of a free market. You know, if we wanted Asian superheroes, okay, we'd have them. People would pay the money to go see those fucking movies, okay? So it's kind of determined by us. Go, let me tell you something, Alison Klemp, go watch a fucking Madea movie. Go just watch BET. The problem is these people that are pushing this stuff out there, they don't actually want black culture.
No.
She doesn't really want that, okay? It's just an easy viewpoint to take. And that's my problem with most comics today, is everyone takes the easy perspective, the easy viewpoint, and we're supposed to be the people that are making people think, but everyone goes like, oh yeah, everyone's equal, racism is wrong. Yay! Yeah, of course racism is wrong. Fucking say something, you moron.
By the way, Allison, you could play like 5 different nationalities.
Yeah.
Like you have it in the you could be like
I have
anything.
One. Yeah, she'd be like I have white
Italian, white.
Thank you for booking me on the Naked Show. I'm not going to talk shit on you.
But you know, in a white guy, in order to really get something now, you have to create your own thing. You're not going to get cast in anything. You have to create your own plot or a movie or pilot. That's how you're going to get.
I mean,
stuff.
Look, it's not saying that there aren't. I mean, look, they do. I think that when they look at the numbers, they go, oh, something like 70% of the leading roles are given to white men.
And but that's also dictated by who goes to see movies and who buys tickets.
That's it.
Yes.
It's 100%. That's it. I don't know what you want me to say, man. You know, like, if you want that, there's also plenty of options. It's not like there's any short of options of black and Hispanic movies. There's a lot. The truth of the matter is most of the shit on BET sucks. Most of the content that is allocated toward just black audiences, just Hispanic audiences, it just kind of blows. And most people don't connect to it. Really, like, hardcore black audiences connect to Tyler Perry movies and they watch it and that it's filled in there, but there's no mainstream appeal. You know what I'm saying? This is why it's such a big deal for Kevin Hart to become so wildly popular, because he started out as a guy that was mainly doing black rooms and then crossed over and had mainstream appeal.
Yeah. And so, he should be very, very thankful that Chris Tucker vanished off the face of the earth. That's what he should.
No, it's Cat Williams.
Oh, dude, no. He's playing fucking Chris Tucker roles. Everything he's in is like, dude, I remember I saw a movie and there were 3 trailers for fucking Kevin Hart movies and they were all the same thing. He was this short black dude who was out of his element.
Yeah, out of his element.
It's gonna like
scream like a girl. There's always him screaming like a girl in a trailer.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
some giant tough guy.
Yeah.
The well, Rock, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal. Somebody is gonna like
some big tough guy is gonna be like, you're not supposed to be here with me, man.
And like put his hand on his shoulder and he's gonna look up and be like, uh oh.
I don't even know how to hold a gun.
Yeah.
I'm so little.
Car, yeah. $300 million.
And then he marries the guy's daughter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I still like Soul Plane though. I was watching that before.
Soul Plane. I don't think I ever saw it.
It was on before I was watching it.
Yeah, well, this was also a thing. Remember when they came out with the Oscar nominations and everyone's like, this is fucked up, no black people got nominated. I'm like, what did you want to nominate? Fucking 50 Shades of Black? What are you talking about? There's nothing good enough to come out. I mean the guy who did Creed should have been nominated, and the other Netflix movie Beast of a Nation should have been nominated. I mean, yeah. So those were two that they could have gone. But other than that, shut the fuck up.
But it's not like, crazy. We watch people get passed up for Oscar nods all the time. Yeah. And if it's a white person, nobody goes, oh, it's because he's white. Come on. But the reality is there's an initiative to pass up white people who are better fitted for the Oscar because they're not black. That's my major problem. And there was that Cinderblock Comedy Festival. And I want to talk about that a little bit. But that ultimately is my problem with doing that, right? It's like do you know what the Cinderblock Festival is?
I have no idea.
Okay. So they're doing a comedy festival in Brooklyn. And there's an early submission period that is only open to women and minorities, and you pay 77 cents on the dollar that white men will have to pay in order to submit for this festival. Ugh. Now, look, fundamentally, the problem is you fucking cocksuckers that are it's Corey Spencer, your friend. I don't know if she's your friend.
She's not my friend.
She doesn't like me. What do you remember? I brought her up recently.
I mean, that's not a big shocker though. No. People don't like
you. I brought her up, and you said you know her, and then I was
I do know. That was a long time ago. Yeah, I do know her from SF. I was already doing headlining spots there, so I wasn't. She was doing open mics,
yeah,
and I was like not doing that.
Well, she's here,
but I knew
he was already getting disrespected by Jeff Garland by the time she came.
Yeah, oh dude.
So she created this festival with a bunch of other people. And the idea is that, they're giving minorities and women a break because it's so unfair for them in life.
That's such a...
It's the Laughs Second Comedy Festival.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. And that's the point. You go like, so inherently you're just going, yeah, my comedy festival, we're not looking for funny first. We're looking to make sure that women and minorities are included first. And then we're going to go to funny. So you're inherently saying, guys, this is not the funniest comedy festival, period.
Yeah.
Okay, because we're booking a comedy festival. I'm booking Skankfest, which is not even a real comedy festival. It's a 2-day long show all day and all night. We aren't going to be charging young comics money to try to get on this show. That's the inherent problem, is that they're charging a $20 fee, they're gonna have 1,000 people sign up, and they're gonna make 20 grand just going into the festival off of young comedians. Bringer shows, comedy classes, festival submissions. This is a major problem in the comedy community. And if you're making money off of your peers, it's fucking gross. And the problem is they're Trojan horsing it in this, oh, look, we're being inclusive with everybody. They're getting press for it. But it's actually just bullshit. It's another one of these shady fucking comedy festival people that are just making money off of young comics. If you book a comedy festival, book strong shows, book the best acts possible, book headlining names, and have people pay for tickets to come and see them. That's how you make money off of a comedy festival, and that's what we're going to do with Skankfest. We're spending the money, the time, and the resources in order to bring real audience members there. And if you can't bring real audience members there, and you can't make a profit off of booking comics on a show, then you don't deserve to run a show. Why? How are you making money off of your fucking peers, you fucks?
Because comics are horrible people, dude. They're fucking terrible people.
I just have a weird thing with comedy. Like, I look at us as being brothers and sisters.
It's not anymore, though.
Now, politics and social issues have crept their way into the comedy community. Half the comics on Facebook aren't even trying to be funny anymore. They're trying to get their little point across. It's ridiculous. I don't understand. It's like, we're not supposed to have agendas. We're supposed to kind of come in and make people think.
Agenda is supposed to be funny and sell ourselves as that.
Yeah.
And when we lose sight of that, then why are we being comics? Like, we're not all going to be Bill Hicks.
Yeah. Like, dude, there should be no comic posting
anything. You might die in your 30s, though.
That's very true.
If you post anything serious with the tag, like, this is something we should all look at. It's like, dude, we're like, make a joke about something. What are you doing? I don't know. I ran this comic competition once. It was like an 8-week thing, and I made a fuck ton of money. And I hated every second of it, dude. I did it because I was kind of at a weird spot. And then my friend who like owned the club was like, hey, I'll help you do this. And so I did it. It was like an 8-week thing, and I made a lot of money, dude. But it was I felt terrible. I mean, I felt terrible just because it was like
you're taking money from people.
I felt like I was like making money off these people because I was like, oh well, you only brought 7 friends, so you can't do. And I'm not like that. Like I don't like I hated it, dude. I mean, I spent all the money. But
look, here's the thing. Look, we do anything we can do to make money, right? You know, like at the end of the day, it's like I get it. If you're struggling, I just feel like you shouldn't be making the money off of your peers. It's a weird thing. You know, comedy classes, that's another thing where you go like, I mean, God damn it, dude, if you're running a comedy class, I there's some people that I really respect that have done comedy classes. I'm going like, yeah, dude, no real comic that anybody respects thinks that a comedy class will do anything for you, right? All it is an open mic with feedback, and there's feedback open mics. They're all over the place.
Yeah. Maybe a comedy seminar where they give you like basics for a day.
But they're not even doing that. Look, if somebody said, I'm going to grab let me think of people that would actually even be accessible. Like, I'm going to grab Kurt Metzger. I'm going to grab Pete Holmes. I'm going to grab a Bert Kreischer. And I'm going to put them on a panel. You guys spend $100 to listen to them talk about the business for 3 hours. I wouldn't really have a problem with that.
Yeah, but
they're real people that are really in the business that are doing different things, different places in their careers. But that's not what's happening. The people that are running comedy classes
are nobodies.
Yeah, are nobodies. They're old hacks that never were able to do anything. And they fizzled out. And now they say, all right, dude, I can make my money teaching other people how to do comedy. And that's just not, I don't know, it's just not really the way it works. So,
hey, is that class go?
Scopo, you might actually need a comedy
I was
class.
Like, that's my you right now.
I mean, like, I had, I got good, like, because I took a history of comedy class. And we had the opportunity to try stand-up and get evaluated.
Yeah.
And that helped me when I first, like, literally my first time ever. And it was Dante.
Oh, really?
And Dante, like, kind of told me to stop, instead of stop saying, stop using curse words when I lose my train of thought. He gave me, like, very basic little things. He told me to take the mic stand and put it behind me. Don't keep it right in the middle of the stage. Yeah.
But to be honest, all those things, yes. But if you just went to any comic and said, hey, dude, watch my set that's been doing it for a couple of years, you're going to get those things. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but if you don't know anybody, it's a good start.
I don't know. I just don't agree.
I think, I mean, I'm not saying it should be like an 8-week program. I'd say it should be, if you go for a day, that's cool.
There are things you can learn, but to be honest with you, I guarantee there's a YouTube video that will teach you everything in any of those classes. That's it. And the truth of the matter is, you know, there's too many people getting in comedy anyway. There's too many not funny comics. There's too many people that are just going like, okay, I'll just be a comic and that'll be my way into the entertainment industry. And I think it's a disservice to us, the fact that there are people teaching unfunny people how to be comics and take up our stage time. And somebody walked up to me and they're just like, oh, I want to do comedy. And there's like a boring, dry, not funny personality, has nothing to offer. No, dude, just beat it. Don't fucking take up everybody's air, you know? And here's the thing that really bothers me. A lot of the times, a lot of the people that are sharing these things, like the Cinderball Comedy Festival, Corey Spencer, I don't know her. Is she a white chick? I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, she's a white chick, yeah.
White chicks have it the easiest in every industry possible. Period.
Yeah.
Across the board.
You just have to suck one dick.
Across.
Just one. That's it. One dick.
Not even that, dude.
And you get what you want.
Well, here's the thing. You don't have to suck a dick. You bring that up, but that's really
that
the
does
essence
it for free.
It. That's the essence
I
of it.
I do it for the love of the game.
Yeah. You do it for the art. Thirsty.
Fucking Kevin Costner.
No, here's the truth, okay? That's the essence of it. Guys ultimately will bow down to hot chicks. And we want to get our dick sucked. Mm-hmm. So if you're a woman, if you're a mildly attractive woman, boom, you can go to that. You can go to that. If you are an attractive woman and you are not successful in whatever field you are in, you are a fucking moron.
You know,
period.
I think if you're aggressive, I think if you're an aggressive woman too. You know what I'm saying? Like you talk fast. If you're laid back, yeah, no. But if you want your shit done, a hot chick will get it done very easily if she's aggressive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just saying that. Women shouldn't be complaining. White women should not be complaining, okay? For some reason, they want to throw themselves in the same struggle as minorities. They want a white woman, she really goes, yeah, me and this black guy who grew up in poverty with his father beating him to unconsciousness every day, we have the same struggle because people catcall me. Get the fuck out of here, okay? And by the way,
who do you think's doing that?
But every fucking person that are sharing these things on Facebook and on Twitter, there's these semi-good-looking white chicks. I'm like, where is your fucking struggle? This is what I wrote on Alison Klemp's wall. I was like, what struggle have you had? What are you complaining about? You're already on television. She was already on that G4 show. I'm like, you don't have three minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
You got on a TV show. Just fucking count your money and walk away. Walk over to the sunset. This isn't your fucking battle. It's crazy to me. It's just absolutely crazy to me.
Wow.
I'm
just mad that she's been on TV.
The whole white male privilege thing, and I feel like I have to speak up sometimes because I'm a Hispanic man, and I feel bad for. I watch you guys have to just sit there and just take it on the chin over and over again. Being a white guy,
feature for you,
dude. It sucks right now. It really sucks right now. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like all my.
Oh, we're never gonna make it.
White privilege is so great. Yeah. You guys have everything. I watch my white friends just struggling in this industry. Nobody gives a fuck. You have to be so head and shoulders above everybody else if you're just simply a white guy in this industry that it's like, fuck, dude, I wouldn't even do it. If I was a young white guy, I wouldn't even start comedy.
Look at a guy like Joe List, who's been funny for how long? Like at least
17, 18 years.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
17,
and now,
18 years he's been doing comedy. He just got his first half hour on Comedy Central. Alison Klemp's like, hey, G4, put me on TV. I gotta get her back on the show because I don't want to shit on her when she's not here. No, I want to get her here.
Dude,
I like Allison. I'm friends with Allison, but that post made me infuriated.
I'm saying, dude, that was awful fucking radio, dude. Mm. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and if she was cool, I'd love to have her on it. It was terrible, dude.
Yeah.
And actually, Dave Smith pulled me aside and said, hey, man, you guys can't, you know, do that thing where you're all three like yelling at her at the same time because it looked really bad. I'm all, dude, she was just terrible. Like, it wasn't our fault. We were just trying to get anything out of her. Like, I mean, yeah, bring her on. Why not?
Yeah.
I got a little heated on that one, too. I admit that we didn't look great.
Well, that's a problem.
I mean, I don't.
We all. She said some stuff. We're all like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, fuck her, dude. She was on
her
phone.
You got four guys in a room with a chick, and she's wrong, and she's an idiot, and she's rude.
And she came in.
But at the same time,
nice.
When you have four guys yelling at one chick, calling her a moron, it just seems very aggressive. And it seems like she's on the defensive. So it's like a bully mentality. People watching it, I think Dave was talking about just from a pure aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like watching it, it looks like these guys are just ganging up on this chick.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course. But
one guy
I was trying to
bullying them. A moron chick. That's a viral video.
All right, real quick. I want to get into this Skrelly video. Real quick, guys, if you're joining along in the chat, I will chime in at any time. I'll read some of the chat today.
Can we update Skrelly as Real Ass Dude of the Year?
Not yet. The year's not over. We do pick a Real Ass Dude of the Year. But
he's in the running, though?
This week's Real Ass Dude of the Week.
Again?
He's a real ass dude. He's got a bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude.
Martin Shkreli, once again, Real Ass Dude of the Week. I don't fuck around here, man. The guy, I'm not just giving it to him every week to be funny. Every week he does something more real ass than the last week.
Okay, so what did he do? do now. Because I actually, after you told me, I watched that interview he did with Vice.
Yes.
By the way, that white chick who was terrible. Mm-hmm. She was the worst interviewer ever. But he was charming, dude.
Very charming.
But weird, though. Weirdo.
He's a little bit of a weirdo, a little eccentric, but he's a charming guy, and he doesn't come off like a fucking bad guy.
No, he doesn't.
He really doesn't. Right,
if he stays out of jail the next 20 years, he's going to run for president.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. He might win.
If you hear this guy's backstory, he grew up poor.
Both his parents are janitors.
Yeah, both the parents are janitors. Immigrants. They're from fucking, he grew up in Brooklyn, two-bedroom apartment with four kids. I mean, dude, this guy, he came from nothing, went to Baruch College, became a multimillionaire, got hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investments. It's a successful guy. And to sit there and go, oh, this guy's inherently evil because he raised the price of AIDS medication, which these companies, that's what they do. Pharmaceutical companies, it's their job to make money off of the drugs they make.
Well, and also, you were right, dude, because how he explained it was, I'm not going to give someone medicine. If they need medicine,
yeah.
I've had all these like deals with like hospitals where we give them at a huge discount. The only people who we charge full price are the insurance companies who fuck over everybody anyway. And that never got out.
Well, he's just he's
of course, because it's always, the sexy story is this guy's an evil motherfucker.
And
then when he goes and he alleviates those problems or fixes those problems, nobody wants to talk about that. Because the truth is, once you demonize somebody, them fixing their reputation, it's just not really a sexy story. No newspaper wants to go, oh, guys, hold on. We had it wrong. This guy's actually really a good guy.
Well, he's also a single person, and he's a white male. So everyone looks like, oh, he's the fucking devil.
Oh, of course, instead of insurance but everyone company. Keeps on calling him. It's like, oh, he's entitled. He's an entitled white male. And he's like, dude, entitled. I watched him on Charlamagne's show, the Breakfast Club. And he's like, entitled. Dude, I grew up poor. He was like, I grew up, you know, like every average kid in Brooklyn. He was like, you know, I did this on my own. And I have a lot of respect for somebody who does that. Play the video. I guess he hosted his own, what is this? Like a Google Hang?
I thought you had a podcast. Yeah, I was Google like, can we get him on the Gas Digital Network?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to. I would fucking, I would give him 80% of the company if Martin Shkreli would join our network. Go ahead, play just the first few minutes of this video. We'll pause and chat it as we go on.
What's up?
You're with Echo.
Yeah, that's because I'm actually using you from two different computers. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, stop. That would be great.
Don't tell me what to do.
This chick wants to debate him on his Google Hang.
Crazy with that, you drive everyone crazy like that. Oh, we'll come back when you learn how to figure out how computers work and shit. That'd be good.
And she's also black, right?
Yeah, she's a black chick. Yeah,
well, for audio listeners. She came in kind of hot. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
What's up?
Look at this
douche. Your fake ass eyebrows. What's up?
Oh,
he isn't like a douche, though.
Wait. Hold up. You talking about me?
Yeah.
Your fucking face disturbs me, but that's not why I called in. Why I called in is because you're a stupid piece of shit.
You're
misappropriating black culture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, you are. You think you're so fucking smart. What you're doing is you have fucking killed people in Africa. And you're so obsessed with black people. Why are you so obsessed with black people, but you're killing people in Africa by jacking up the prices of AIDS and HIV and AIDS and malaria medications. The medication. So fuck you, okay? And
what if I did?
I heard you.
What if I did?
I heard you on 105.1 talking to Charlamagne saying that you wanted to smack Ghostface Killer.
I will smack him. I'll smack you too.
I wish you would.
I wish you would.
I'll tell you my address. I'll actually pee up.
Come on.
Listen, Ghostface Killer will smack the dog shit out of you. That's first of all. Second of all, you are a fraud. You're probably going to go to jail. You've been arrested on federal charges. You're misappropriating black culture.
No.
You're a fucking wigger.
That's
what you are. You act like a wigger.
My culture. I own it.
You act like a wigger.
I bought the culture. It's mine.
Why? You said
I bought the culture. It's mine.
For it.
You bought what culture? What culture did you buy?
I bought all of it.
You bought nothing, honey.
Yes.
You bought nothing.
You think I can't be black with enough money? Well, let me tell you something. With enough money, I'll be black.
With enough, you probably can have.
Oh, he is a real life Gordon Gekko.
The melanin that you want so badly, but you will never be black. I don't even think you want to be black. I think you want to act black because you think it's cool. But
so here's the deal, right? He ends up moving.
By the way, the screenshot that ended on is perfect. Maddie, bring that back up for a second.
Yeah, so this chick calls in and go watch the video. Maddie, what's the name of that video so people can watch the whole thing?
If you just YouTube Martin Shkreli, ignorant racist.
Martin Shkreli, ignorant racist. And this chick, he goes on for 30 minutes and he destroys this chick. He destroys her. At one point he goes, all right, let me stop the act for a minute. And he just turns into real Martin Shkreli because he just stops trolling her. And he's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. He's like, you don't know anything about me. You read an article. He's like, you don't know anything about this drug. She's like, oh, yes, I do. He's like, all right, what does it treat? She's like, malaria. He's like, wrong. It's like wrong. It stopped treating malaria. It started malaria. It what do they call it when it mutates? It mutated. It no longer does it. So what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. So you treat AIDS? No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually treat AIDS. And then he started breaking down what it actually does. And she's like, and then here go. He starts letting other people call in and just say racist stuff to her later on.
First off, she came in. She didn't want to debate. She wanted to fucking argue.
She
came in. He's like, "Oh, turn down your echo. Just don't tell me what to do."
Yeah,
it's like, no, he's telling you how to properly fucking do this.
Fast forward it a little bit, maybe another 5-10 minutes, because I want to get a little bit of him being normal Martin Shkreli and just destroying this chick.
You want with the people that called in or
without the people for a minute?
Find him. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, just maybe 7-8 minutes from now, you're good. Just fucking click anywhere.
You might not know a lot about me.
Here we go.
And that's perfectly fine, but I think that if you wanted to engage in a dialogue with me, instead of, you know, what it appears to be is that you're unleashing some anger and some frustration or some energy at something, and I fit a decent mold for whatever that something is. You don't know a lot about me. You don't know about Daraprim, the drug that I raised prices on. You haven't read anything about it.
I have, actually.
Okay, so
I'll let you speak.
Okay, so maybe you can answer some questions about it.
Okay.
So what countries does my company have the rights to Daraprim in?
That I don't know. I'm not an expert, but I know what Daraprim is. Listen,
I see.
I'm not claiming to be an expert.
Daraprim also treats
malaria.
Okay, but it doesn't. It doesn't treat malaria.
It doesn't treat malaria? No. Okay. Does it treat cancer? Does it treat HIV?
No. It doesn't.
Does it treat AIDS?
No.
Okay, so then why is there so much misinformation online about this?
Exactly,
it's because people like you will believe anything they read.
No, I don't, actually. I consulted with multiple sources.
Okay.
Now,
tell me what does Daraprim treat then?
Malaria is what I read, cancer is what I read, and also HIV and AIDS. Now, these are three diseases that are very prevalent on the African continent.
All you have to do is
claim to love black people so much.
You've got everything wrong about this so far.
I love it.
So you should be quiet and let me explain why you got it wrong.
Okay,
so you probably read something about this drug treating complications of those illnesses. But if you go to Daraprim.com, you would realize that the drug treats toxoplasmosis and encephalitis. Also, the drug is no longer recommended for malaria. Malaria has evolved and is mutated to the point where Daraprim doesn't help malaria at all. Could even make it worse. So, Turing only has the rights to Daraprim for the United States, so I don't have anything to do with Africa.
Just kills this bitch. It's just like a crossword. All right, you can stop it.
Yeah, dude, she challenged a fucking educated, self-made man to a fucking battle of wits. What do you think is going to happen?
You're never going to beat a guy like that.
Dude, when he brings her down, he's like, what's the name of your company? She's like, whatever. He's like, okay, here, I'm on IMDb. He's like, how many employees? You have 4 employees, and you're telling me you own a company? She's like, I have many more independent contractors. She's like, where's your office? And she pauses. You could tell she doesn't have an office. She goes, Manhattan. And I was like, oh, really? He's like, oh, well, where is it, Manhattan? He's like, I'm not telling you. He's like, oh, what are the terms of your lease? She's like, 12 months. He's like, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. He was like, there's no such thing as a commercial lease for 12 months. You're just lying. He just smashes this chick. And then he lets his fans go in and just start fucking again. Bring up some of the fans.
I love he has fans. He's making a killing.
He's a fucking businessman with a fan base.
Yeah.
How is this not the real ass dude of the week?
I mean, if you just if you do any more research on him past the first articles, like you told me to, and I did on the way home, and I was like, it changed my whole view of him, dude. I was like, oh, he's not a bad dude at all. He explained some shit. And then so I think people, I mean, you know, I mean, he's actually, what's wrong with the media is like there's only one side of the story.
Yep.
And once you hear what he has to say, you're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not black and white. People
this
like
guy's it. So great, he made Scopo leave the podcast.
Yeah. And he's not going to give him medicine for his cough. Scopo, $1,000 for that NyQuil, fuckface.
Chris Scopo, flow ruiner.
Oh, fuck. No, him leaving helped the flow of the show. What are you talking about, Maddie?
I couldn't decide.
Chris Scopo, stay in the kitchen.
Sorry, Jesus.
Don't come back coughing on mic. Finish your coughing fit.
I was done, basically.
But that's exactly it. The news, because we're so dumb, because people just in general are dummies and they don't want to do any research and we're very lazy, the news wants to make everything black and white. And 99% of the time, things aren't black and white. 99% of the time, there's so much nuance there. There's so many people involved with these stories. There's so many things that we didn't see that... How do you not sit back and go like, all right, well, obviously I'm reading this newspaper article or watching this news story for entertainment. I can't necessarily take it at face value completely. And I think Shkreli is an exact example of that. As a guy who's like demonized. And if you're going into it not trying to call this guy an asshole, you go like, okay, he's actually just a successful kind of interesting guy. I get what he did. A lot of people look at it as being like a scumbag move, but if that's the case, then you have to tear down the entire pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, they're all scumbags.
Yeah, well, go ahead, play some of the fans.
And you want to know something? You acted like a fucking asshole.
Let me make her face real quick.
You were talking to esteemed individual.
Esteemed?
Esteemed?
Fucking losers. Losers.
Compared to who? You?
Everyone's a loser compared to me. Okay. Let's be real for a minute.
No, I'm
be real for a minute.
Hey, relax, dude. Relax, dude.
You are a coward.
Coward? I stuck up to the government.
You stood up.
Make me brave.
It makes you brave to say I invoke my Fifth Amendment, right?
Some dude's just headbanging in the top corner. All right, stop it. This is a mess. It's fine. So, yeah, dude, I don't know. This guy gets Real Ass Dude of the Week honors.
I think he's got to be the head guy for Real Ass Dude of the Year.
What did he have? Like five or six times so far?
He's killing
it. I remember three off the top of my head.
Yeah. In the chat, let me know what you guys think of Shkreli. We'll read some of your chat comments right now. Right on target says, Lewis is way too insightful for how dumb he sounds most of the time. That is right on target.
Lewis is not dumb. People don't really, they think you're dumb. But
no.
Really,
here's my problem. I don't know how to speak. So the fact that I've come this far and I'm this successful in broadcasting and comedy.
In an industry of speaking.
Yeah, an industry of speaking.
Speaks wonders to your intellect.
Yeah. It really does. Like, this is fucking crazy to me. Like, I should be...
You're like a one-legged tap dancer.
Hey, if you had a better life, maybe, you could have been Martin Shkreli.
I could have had... Let me just admit, if I was raised with any sort of privilege or had, you know...
Maybe formal education?
If I had 80% of the intelligence of Dave Smith, I'd be a millionaire already.
Yeah.
These words are coming out right now, guys, and I never think about what I'm going to say. It just fucking goes. So one out of every 10 times, I will say something somewhat brilliant. Let's see. Right on Target also says that he's a real ass dude forever, Martin Shkreli. Martin Shkreli rules. Sam H. says, is this dude autistic? Sundrop says, this dude is a real ass dude.
I'm going to say he's probably medium Asperger's.
Terry Snow, he's my hero.
I think he's just
a really smart man. He knows what he's
Phil
doing.
Chulia says, I like how cocky this dildo is, but I still hope he gets beat up.
Like, so. Did you see that Vice interview, though, Scopo? He was like playing chess with that girl, and he wasn't even aware. He was like making fun of her, calling her a bad chess, like saying really underhanded shit to her. She's never played chess before. And he's just like, well, yeah, you're going to put that there, but I'm going to like knock it down about five moves. But it's fine, though. He was just saying really like shit that like people who have social skills don't have. Like,
I don't know. I think
he didn't know how to like act with it.
I think he's so much smarter than everybody, and he knows it. When you know you're so much smarter, you can just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, here's the other thing. If you're a guy who comes from nothing, you make yourself a multimillionaire, everybody already hates you already.
He's playing up to the act.
Well now he goes, all right, dude, I don't need to fucking... The people who get what I do are going to get what I do. The media is going to still demonize me. And he just took the ball and ran with it. And I understand that. I really want to get him on a show. I have a connection with his publicist. And I've been contacting them literally every week to try to get an interview with this guy.
I would love
I can see
just sit in a room with that dude and just like
just pick his brain, talk shit with him, play video games with him.
I'll see if my brother knows somebody who maybe knows him. They're in the same industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's check it out.
All right, let's go with the MMA segment of the day, Maddie.
Here's your go-to for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Maddie Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day. Let's get it on!
All right, let's do... Jesus Christ, hang on.
There we go.
A little bad news, good news. Bad news, good news. Do bad news first. Junior Dos Anjos out of his fight with Conor McGregor next weekend.
I mean, we're not living under a rock.
I thought the bad news was that Maddie was going to talk.
That's mean. But on the bright side, we are going to see Nate Diaz step in to fight the notorious Conor McGregor.
Okay, so if you guys don't follow MMA, Conor McGregor, in my opinion, has become the biggest crossover star in mixed martial arts. Irish fighter from Ireland, not even Irish-American, like real-deal Irish fighter, loves to talk the talk, riles up the fans. In my opinion, is going to be the first, like, 100-millionaire fighter. The first guy that's going to really... Yeah. He's going to change the game, I think, if he can keep on winning.
If he keeps on winning.
The problem with MMA in general is there's a lot of ways to lose. You're going to get that shitty matchup. You're going to have an off night. You know, sometimes it's a one little simple slip-up, then holy shit, Nate Diaz has his hook sunken on you, and he's rear-naked choking you unconscious.
Yeah.
People are really looking past Nate in this fight as well. He was supposed to move up to 155. Conor McGregor, he's a 145-pound champion, supposed to move up to 155 and fight for the title. The champion at 155 got a foot injury. He had to pull out of the fight, so they moved him up another weight class.
Jesus Christ.
170 pounds.
He's going to fight at 170 now?
Yeah, 170. But like, I mean, everyone's going crazy that he's fighting 170. The actual truth of the matter is he's fighting 155, but they're allowing them to weigh 170. Like they're
both fighting at their walking around weight, basically.
155ers, basically. And they're going to weigh 170. Dude, Robin Lawler walks around at fucking 190, dude, 195. Like, Nate Diaz is not a true 170-pounder.
No, and when Nate did make his run at 170, he got his ass handed to him. Yeah. What's his name? Rory McDonald fucking belly-to-back suplex him five times in a round. Yeah. It was crazy.
If he beats 155-pounder at 170 pounds, and people are going to be like, oh, man, he's going to kill Lawler. No, he's not, dude. Yeah. Lawler's bigger, stronger, like way bigger than that, dude. So, I don't think the fair – I think people are getting their kind of heads a little
confused. So what do you think he's going to weigh at fight time?
He'll probably 160, 165. I would assume Conor. Because Conor walks around at like 170, 175. He's going to be
probably just weigh 170.
You think he's going to actually weigh in? I will bet that he'll weigh in a little bit less.
I'm telling you, he walks like 175.
Does he?
Yeah. Really?
Go back to Lawler for a second. Brendan Schaub came out, said for sure Conor would beat fucking Lawler.
Well, dude, it's a weird matchup. Like, I know that Robbie's a lot bigger, but I would say Robbie, he would have a lot of problems with, like, a Johnny Hendricks, who would take him to the ground, who would get on top of him, and has crazy knockout power, so he has to watch out for the punches. Robbie's just going to kickbox him. You have two guys who are very powerful. One guy is substantially faster than the other guy. I don't know that that's definitely a fight that Robbie Lawler wins. Robbie Lawler looked a little bit slow to the punch in that last fight that he had. Against Carlos Conde. It wasn't an unbelievable performance. It was a great fight, but it wasn't neither of those guys. They both looked a little flat-footed in that fight. So that's not a guaranteed win. Here's the deal. Conor McGregor, here's what I take from this whole story, okay? Conor McGregor is reinventing the fucking rule book for mixed martial arts right now, okay? There's all these rules. The UFC, it's like, we watched it, our friend John Fitch, who was basically ousted from the UFC because he wasn't a company boy, didn't want to play by the rules. He was like, fuck this, dude. I don't want to be in the video game if I'm not being paid lifetime rights for my video game character. Yeah. And the UFC said, fuck you, dude. You want to play by our rules? Get the fuck out. He lost once. After 12 wins in a row, he lost once.
Yeah.
And they said, peace, bitch. You're out. Bricks.
Oh, it's actually worse than that. He lost a fucking five-round war against GSP, and he won five of the night. And everybody who watched that was like, that dude is all heart, man.
Yeah, they made a documentary about that fucking performance.
And they fired him. Yeah. His like next fight, when they brought him back, they like punished him, and they put him like on not even the... televised portion.
Yeah.
And there wasn't Facebook fights yet or anything. So he wasn't even on TV.
He just wasn't on TV. He was fighting to 4,000 people in an empty stadium before the card started.
He was so mad. Yeah.
Conor doesn't have to play by the rules.
No.
Conor comes out, you know, they make these new Reebok uniforms. You go, one guy's got to wear black, one guy's got to wear white. Oh my God, Conor McGregor walks out with green shorts.
Yeah.
green fucking shorts. He's the only guy who said, oh, I don't really care. I'm just going to wear whatever shorts I want. Reebok gave him his own special green Irish shorts. Then
MFC.
Dude, then
Cowboy Cerrone got fined for putting an American flag patch that his dying grandma gave him. He got fined, dude. and like he got in trouble and they fucking took. And by the way, the like here's what pissed me off about those fines is they don't, you know, NFL, if you find a player, that money goes to charity. UFC just takes the money.
Yeah.
Fucking like Dana White just takes his money from his dying grandma and goes and buys his kid some new shoes. Fucking prick.
That money in the NFL doesn't go to charity, though.
What?
It doesn't go to charity. It goes to the NFL.
Some of it does, though.
I read this article
that they said that it did.
I don't want to give it, but well, the NFL scumbags, they were charging, you know, veterans at the game. They were charging the U.S. Army to put the veterans, like $30,000 for one veteran to be applauded during the game.
They weren't
even like giving it for free.
Oh, scumbags. Oh, Jesus.
Scumbags. Yeah. Never mind. Well, they're all shitheads.
Well, anyway, Conor McGregor's second rule that he said I don't give a fuck about. The rule was, in order to challenge for a title in another weight class, you have to relinquish your title, give it up, and then you move up and you fight for another title. Because the UFC was like, yeah, dude, we can't have a champion only fighting once a year, because if he holds multiple belts, there's no way to get that many fights in, right? Not for Conor. Conor McGregor said, fuck it, dude. I'm holding on to my belt. I'm keeping it. And I'm going to go up and challenge for 155. Fuck that rule.
Dude, think about how he was like so close to quitting fighting for good. And then he gets the call from the UFC, jumps in, he fights, and he becomes this huge star.
Oh, it's Conor? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was like that close to just calling it quits. He didn't even pick up the phone. The first, he auditioned like,
for the Burger King King. He's like, I got this gig. I'm going to be the Burger King King.
But it shows you like the guys who complain about no money go in, be the best fighter. Be entertaining.
Yep.
And you'll be the next Conor McGregor. Yep. It's that fucking simple.
Third rule, which is happening next week. Championship fights must headline pay-per-views. Remember they made that big deal when Ronda Rousey became champion? And they were like, and people were like, oh, you're going to have Ronda headline over Dan Henderson? Are you crazy? And Dana was like, dude, we're not disrespecting our fucking championship. Okay? This is the female champion of the world. That's a that means more than any other fight. And not for Conor. They said, fuck that, dude. They don't give a shit about Misha versus Holly. People don't even know Misha's fighting, by the way.
I forgot she was
fighting. Don't forget the weight class thing, too, because they usually do the lower weight class. And then the December fight, they did McGregor over the middleweight championship.
It's in McGregor's contract that he has to headline anything that he's on.
They haven't done this since, like, UFC 51 or something
like that. Yeah, it's literally been since the old days of UFC where they would let a non-championship fight headline. Yeah. So it's a very strange thing, and he's doing, you know, in my opinion, I think he's doing good things for the sport. I think the UFC was almost becoming too powerful. The UFC, it seemed like they didn't really give a shit about the programming. They were just kind of putting the content out to put the content out. And then Conor McGregor just came out, and the UFC recognizes how valuable he is.
Yeah.
And they're kind of letting him do what he needs to do. And it just goes to show you, become exciting, become undeniable, become that fucking dude, and you could be very successful in that sport.
Do whatever you want. I mean,
anything.
I mean, you have to wear like those like Reebok things. You can't wear anything else. He got angry at them, so he just showed up to every interview without a shirt on. Without a shirt, he's just not wearing anything. He's like, fuck off. I'm not wearing anything. And so he's gonna get to this point where I think what will happen is he's gonna outgrow their company, and I mean, you know, he could promote his own fights.
But he has to win.
Yeah,
he can't lose.
Here's the thing, he will lose eventually, right? And that's the ultimate the reason
he
why
he may lose next week.
There's a very
I don't count out
Nate
Diaz at all.
Well, you know, he's like a minus or a plus 340 underdog with Nate.
Yeah, it's
we should all put in $25 and just put it on Nate because it's not that crazy. I think Nate should be like a plus 175.
You mean Nate's the underdog?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Nate's the underdog. I think maybe plus 175, just considering the fact that they're changing opponents. There's a huge size discrepancy there. I mean, Nate is 2 or 3 inches longer than him in terms of reach.
He's
a couple
76,
inches taller.
74 reach.
Yeah.
And he's bigger. Dude, he's a big dude. I don't know if you've seen him in person. He's
a big
guy.
Both of his brothers are big guys, you know? So we'll see what happens, man. I'm very excited. I'm actually watching it.
He's crazy flat-footed.
Watching it at Kumia's. We're going to do a live Kumia show / Hammerfist crossover show directly following UFC 196 from the compound. You guys want to come out?
I think I'm going to be in Milwaukee, but...
A little walkie-walkie?
Milwaukee, yeah. I'm going to be in a hotel room crying if my friend loses.
This is gonna be it. All right, real quick, Zach, how's the weight loss coming?
Doing good, man. I'm sticking with the diet. I feel good.
Can we do another weigh-in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we haven't done one in a minute. You haven't registered. Now it's been how many weeks has it been since we tried to weigh you in?
I think it's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
No, 3 weeks. Since Micah was here?
No, he weighed me after that. Weighed me after that off air, and I still didn't register.
You look thinner. You look substantially thinner.
I feel better.
Your face is getting thinner.
Yeah.
Good.
So what did you start off as?
We don't know. Here's the problem. Jesus Christ.
We only had a human scale.
Undetermined. Yeah.
We didn't know what he was. But as soon as we get a reading, 25 pounds below that, he gets a handy from Karen Fian.
Dude. All right. Zach, 5 weeks, dude. Let's get him here. I'll fucking help him.
Yeah.
I'll help him.
So let's do it.
I mean, I'm not going to like not.
And Zach's not going to the gym either. He's just doing just the diet.
Well, diet is the most important part.
He needs to come on her hand. For all of us, dude. For all of us.
Let's see. Step on it. And step off. There we go. Okay, yeah, go. Oh, no, that's why. Because it's set to the fucking British. It's set to stone. He's 20.
He's a register. How many stones are you? Like a castle?
It's fucking Buckingham Palace.
He's 30 Christ. Boulders. Here, fix that scale, Maddie. Make it work.
Fix it, Maddie.
Do the conversion.
Yeah, do the conversion. I think it's stone, right? I don't think it also registered.
No, okay. That's still stones.
Good, Maddie. You got it. There's pounds. Go. There we go, baby. Good. Go, man. Good. Zach, step on the scale. Hold on. Hold on. Slow down. Three. Don't move. Stop breathing. Look straight forward.
Stand up straight, you fucking weirdo.
Dude, the problem is Zach is constantly gaining and losing weight at every second.
Maybe the scale's fucked up.
Hold on. Give me a second.
Wait. I know what I weigh.
Here, good. Good, Scopo. You get on the fucking scale. See if it's fucked up. Because you're almost there, Zach. I see. And by the way, I know it's registering because it's not registering at the max. Step on it, then step off. Okay, now step on it. Good.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm about 220.
All right, that's a reading right there. That's 220. Zach, do it again. One more time.
Here we go.
Don't move. Just look forward. Don't move.
It just says ouch, by the way.
319. 319. 319. That's a fucking... It didn't stop, but that's 319 pounds. That's guaranteed. You've lost because it went up to 330 and then errored last time. Yeah. You've at the very least lost 11 pounds.
I've lost way more than 11.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. We don't
you
know.
Weigh the main event of UFC 197. Yes. You literally...
You weigh the combined weight of the Rockers.
Wait, so 319.
319, hold on. So you got to get down to 3...
No, no. To 294.
Yeah.
290. Guys, we have a reading!
Yes. Okay, so from
we
this
have
day
a
forward...
Reading!
All right, so what's your... Should we try for like 5 weeks? You can do them 5 weeks.
I'm just going to stick with the diet.
He's just keeping with the diet. He's been killing it. He's been doing all real ass diet, and he's fucking killing it right now.
Fucking amp it up with it. Have some waters, and then you got to walk every day.
Oh, no, I stopped drinking during the week this week.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna keep... I cut out beer 5 days a week.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
huge.
Beer's your killer. Beer's
yeah, and that's killer. That's what I think is like the last thing I need to cut out.
Vodka mm-hmm. and diet.
No, I'm just
water.
Gonna not be drinking 5 days a week.
No, you do, Zach.
Zach, if you Zach. Can drink, just drink.
Yeah, yeah.
You can drink whiskey. Most whiskey doesn't
whiskey,
have sugar
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
Dude, just sacrifice for this 5 weeks, dude. And then you get to fucking...
That's what I'm doing. I'm sacrificing booze.
Yeah, I mean, dude, to be honest, if I had to guess, you probably have lost 30 to 40 pounds already.
That, yeah, I think I did. I think I lost about 30.
Karen owes you a hand job right now.
I like it this way, where it's only going to be better for me to lose
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, you want
to
see that hand go.
I'm going to call Karen on the show. Let me see. And see if she'll... we'll let her know that we have an official reading. Let's see here. Is this plugged in, this channel, Maddie?
Hang on.
No, don't worry about it. I don't want you to fuck anything up.
I can do it.
No, don't. Maddie.
I just won't kick anything. I'm only
over. If you fucking kick something right, I literally will hit you. I mean that. Here, I'm going to fucking plug Karen in. There we go.
God, I want a black guy to pick up so bad.
I know, right?
Yo, what up?
Yo, what up,
Karen phone?
What up, son? No answer from Karen.
She got her mouth full right now.
Fuck. Oh, no answer. I'll tell her to call me. Call into the show. Call myself.
Are we finished with the hammer fisting segment? Dude, we got Anderson Silva's fight this weekend. That's a big
You want to talk about that as well? You can talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's give me 1 second. Call myself.
When's that fight?
Saturday at 4 p.m.
That's tomorrow night?
Yes.
Tomorrow. You want to watch it? Where are you watching it?
Anderson Silva versus Michael Bisping.
Is it pay-per-view? Or
which?
It's on Fight Pass.
Michael Bisping's going
What?
He's going to get a fucking clock cleaned.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Did you see the weigh-ins?
No.
Want to throw up the weigh-ins for a minute, Maddie, for the fans of the chat?
Surely. Okay.
The stars of Scary Movie.
Here we go. This is the weigh-in. Silva versus Bisping.
Silva.
Bisping goes to shake his hand. Anderson ignores, then goes to shake Bisping's hand. Bisping ignores. Very awkward moment. Then Dana White's getting in between them. Anderson Silva walking toward Bisping. Bisping trying not to back up, but for some reason, Dana's pushing Bisping back. Look at that, dude.
Dana kind of just pushed Bisping with one arm.
Did you just get goosebumps?
Your fucking radio show is going to be like a one-man show next week. I can't wait. I'm telling you, dude.
He's not in. He's not on the show next week.
Yeah.
He's got to recover.
He knows. Yeah, he knows. He knows what time it is. Listen, dude. Okay, so, I mean, you know, so we had our own show on Sirius, and it didn't work out. And so, and then Michael Bisping wanted his own show, so they threw you in as the host.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that if I want to believe there is a God in this world, Michael Bisping has to lose tomorrow.
Okay, you got it. Because you're mad because they ended below the belt for
the
countdown.
No, I'm not mad. I understand. It's like fucking business. But with that said, he needs to die tomorrow.
Okay.
In order for me to keep living, he needs to
This is why why I picked Bisping, and I talked about this yesterday on the countdown. Hold on, Karen's calling in. Give me a second.
Just make horrible fight picks.
Karen, you are on the Real Ass Podcast. Hello.
Oh, my God. How thrilling.
What's up, titties?
Hi, guys.
You call her titties? That wouldn't be the nickname I'd give her. I'd call her ass.
Yeah. Ass is better than titties.
Or abs.
He was calling it ironic. It's like calling me that? Tiny.
That was yeah. Chris Tinkle. He just called you titties.
It was ironic.
His girlfriend's okay with that?
Ooh. Ooh.
Somebody's going to tell your girlfriend.
I don't know.
You're a bitch.
Okay. So, Karen, here's the deal. I got to be honest with you. We got a reading on the scale for Zach today.
No way.
Yeah, we did.
Good job, Zach.
Thank you, baby.
So it's he weighs 319 pounds. If he gets down to 294, you got to give him a handy on the show.
Right.
Okay. So that's it. We wanted to give you an update on Zach because I know you're really looking forward to giving him a hand job.
But if it maxes out at 330, shouldn't that 11 pounds, 10, 11 pounds count?
No. We decided
on
the
show.
Shut the fuck up, Maddie.
I know they can hear me.
No, we made the deal that we had
to get a number.
Yeah, so I just wanted you to know that you should start working out your. Actually, you don't even have to work your forearm. Zach's gonna come.
He's gonna send you a glove.
As soon as you touch the tip of his dick, Zach's just gonna shoot a rope across your wrist.
I'm warning you. Since I've been on Lewis's diet, I'm coming more.
Oh, dude.
Like
awesome.
I have more cum, like, dude,
don't fucking come for like a week, Zach.
What do you mean?
I used to have like two or three little drip drops, like a stroke
victim.
No,
we should get you a.
And now that I'm on Lewis's diet, I'm shooting ropes again. I'm warning
you. Get you a Jackaloid, where they're pills that make you cum more.
I don't think that's necessary.
No, you don't need it.
That would be pretty funny though.
Yeah,
they make you cum more. Why would anybody want to cum more?
It's orgasms better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just keep on shooting ropes.
Yeah, I think it'll be great regardless because we're dealing with a pro here.
All right, Karen, I just wanted to give you a call and say hey.
Hey, baby.
Congratulations, Zach. I can't wait. Looking forward to it, babe.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Karen Fian gonna...
She's a good sport.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, I think that she thinks that you're not going to be able to do it, but...
Technically, I've lost at least...
11 pounds.
Since the last time we weighed me.
But that's all I can say, Zach. We don't know. Oh. You can't.
No, but I mean
claim...
that's since the last time, not mm-hmm. since I started. No.
Zach has the eye of the tiger right now.
If I got to walk by and cut off one of his hands when he's not looking, this is happening.
Zach's going to scream just going, Karen, top of a mountain like Drago.
That's good, though. It's kind of funny because normally a hand job wouldn't do it for me, but I think because it's so borderline rape... that I could come from this type of hand job.
This is like a fetish.
Yeah, this is like, I mean, she doesn't want to do this.
There's an entire site called Fucked Up Hand Jobs, and it's just hot girls jerking off schlubby dudes, and they like prematurely ejaculate, and the girl gets mad at them. Not that I've been watching that since we made this deal.
Oh, shit. I mean, really, because you could put yourself there now. You're like, fuck, dude, it's happening.
I could always put myself there. Do you know how many girls have half wanted to jerk me off and wound up doing it?
Yeah, man. I not a big fan of the handy unless it's like I think I would if I'm gonna go to a rub and tug. I would rather get the handy than fuck the Asian hooker because then you walk out of it. You go when you come here in the moment. You go, all right, I want to fuck a hooker, right? But then they give you the hand job and then you come and you go like, I'm so glad I didn't fuck that hooker. And that felt. Do you know how much better it is to get a full body massage, your whole body, an Asian girl walking on your back, table shower. The whole nine. And then at the end of that amazing hour, she just jerks you off. And it's still less than just having condom dirty hooker sex. Do you know what a better deal that is than fucking? I don't understand how prostitution even exists. The whole thing should just be Asian rub and tugs.
See, I think the release from a hand job is better than a blowjob.
Because some dudes are animals, dude. And no, I think that you have to fuck. So. You don't have to fuck. You just got to come.
Yeah.
The fucking is not that.
And then it's like when the guy wakes up in 28 days later, like when he's like, "Oh, what happened?" And the world's entirely different.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's exact. Yeah.
As long as I come, I really don't care the method. Like I've talked hookers into watching me jerk off because it was substantially less.
I've ordered hookers. I've done this multiple times. I've ordered hookers, jerked off before they got here, and then didn't answer the phone when they got here. It's like a thing that I would do. I would just waste these hookers' time. Because I'd get their voice. I'd talk to them on the phone. That would kind of turn me on. I'd be on Craigslist looking at their pictures. And then I'd fucking beat one out. And then they'd just be outside calling me over and over again. And I'm like, oh, I'm not answering. I already came. You should have gotten here faster.
Yeah.
Just coming on the mail slot, watching them be cold outside.
I just found like a coupon for 100% off. Go fuck yourself.
All right, real quick. Let's go.
Not really, it's like ordering a sandwich and be like, "Oh, sorry, I got bread and meat in here. Sorry."
Yeah, I totally forgot. I went grocery shopping yesterday. I don't need you, and you're fucking weird. I don't have a dick, so I don't really know how to do it right. Attitude that you're gonna bring in.
Shit. All right, let's go to the questions. Question segment.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right. Real ass questions. Give me a little less fun. Thank you, Maddie. If you guys don't know, we do this segment every week. So if you want to join in the conversation and ask any real ass questions, just go to my Facebook wall, facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy, and post a question underneath my fucking thing. You'll see it. Also, if you guys are in the chat right now, if you have any questions for us, I will be reading some chat questions as well. I'll pick a couple chat questions. So anything that you guys want to know. In AMA, every week on the Real Ass Podcast, we keep it honest, we keep it real. Josh Grattan wants to know, how many guys did Lewis play catcher for on Shiprocked? Is he asking me how many guys I got fucked in the ass by?
I believe that's the sentiment.
That would be the question.
Or he's asking you how many major league pitchers were there. And how many times you guys threw pitches?
The bullpen session.
What a weird, like.
Can I say something? You started off doing the joke like you were going to actually just say it.
Yeah.
And then a second in, you were like, oh, this is going to be a bad joke. This is good instincts on Tinkle's part. Yes. And then you bailed and turned it into, look, I'm just doing a shitty joke.
Yeah, yeah. As a white dude who can get on TV, I know how to do comedy. Yeah.
No, I didn't have gay sex on Shiprock, you assholes. Sorry, guys. Sometimes they think I do gay shit. I don't. I made out my friend Jay for the joke.
I mean, he didn't have to hold his head, but...
I made it funnier. Did it make it funnier when he tried to pull away and I pulled him in closer and bit his lip? Was it funnier?
It made more vomit go in the back of my throat.
Yeah. Chris Brinklow wants to know, when Trump wins and finishes building his wall between Mexico and the U.S., what are the odds he will do Canada a favor and build one between the Canada and the U.S.?
Well, if you watched the debate last night, he said he wasn't, so...
He's not going to build a wall?
No, because it's four times as long as the Mexican border. It's too much money, so basically.
There we go. He's thinking fiscally responsible.
Okay. So he's no longer building a wall?
No, he's building a wall in Mexico.
Oh, Canada.
Also...
Because there's a big threat with ISIS. ISIS is going to go to Canada. They said ISIS is going to go to Canada and then come through Canada into America.
How can ISIS get into Canada, but I can't? I smoked weed.
ISIS doesn't smoke weed in public anymore.
Yeah, they're smarter than that.
They'll kill people in public. But so what's a one-time deal?
Canada, you will let fucking members of the largest terrorist group in the world into your fucking borders.
They're not walking up to the border with a backpack with a fucking Uzi hanging out of it because it can't zip up all the way.
With a fucking Christian reporter's head.
No, they're just like, look. Yeah, they're fucking sneaking in. Not like you walking there with fucking a bowl in your hand. What? Oh, no, I'm not.
No,
I'm here.
I'm not here working. They pull a picture of Jay and Louis.
It's for perfume.
John Amato wants to know, I can't help myself from fanboying out whenever meeting comics or musicians. What are some things fans should avoid doing or saying so that we don't come off looking like a spaz? Somebody asked a similar question recently.
Yell at them in their voice. I watched that on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That happened a lot on Sunday at Big J's special. It did. People come up to me, hey, Lewis! I'm like, all right, dude. I get it. You're doing my, you're doing my voice.
It never stopped being funny.
Yeah.
It was funny every time.
I imagine that's how Dave Chappelle felt when everyone kept on going, I'm rich, bitch.
Well, Rick James,
Rick James.
He said that, I think, one time.
Yeah.
He was
at Oddball Festival. He, like, flipped out over it.
I think he was on TV once.
On Oprah, I think.
In an interview, he was, like, having dinner, and people would come up and be like, I'm rich, bitch. He's like, that's
didn't
cool,
he do
but
a
I'm
special?
Doing a fucking dinner right now, my family.
With my fucking kids, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was during a joke as well. Ben Armitage wants to know, what celebrity would you want to attend your funeral? Looking at your family history, statistically, you are already living on borrowed time. We'll go around the room on this one. Celebrity.
Why do people feel like they can just fucking shit all over you like that, dude? It's so weird to me. I mean, I know it's funny, air quotes. That's so weird.
Ooh, that my fans all... Well, if you just look at what my fans, the words that my fans use to me... Yes, it seems like they hate me and want me to die. But that was pretty nice comparatively to some of the other stuff.
If you, like, transcribe that, it looks like it's all people who don't want you on this
podcast. No, it's transcribed. It's all just words written down on my Facebook wall. I have family members hit me up being like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with these people? They're awful. If a celebrity to attend my funeral, I mean, at this point, I'd have to say Martin Shkreli. It's a real ass dude, man.
He'd come in and
just want him to play the Wu-Tang album at my funeral.
He might come in and buy you in the casket.
That'd be cool. But he'll only play the first like 8 seconds of it, and then he'll just turn it off and walk out.
I don't really care about celebrities. I'm the celebrity. I'm the show. Do people not understand that? Like, I don't give a fuck. When I meet, if I meet...
Your hashtag the corpse.
If I meet a celebrity, I don't go, oh my God, that's a fucking celebrity. There's a few people that I have. I met Cameron Diaz, or I didn't even meet her. I was working out next to her at the gym one time. And there's certain people that are famous enough that they give off like an energy.
They have an aura.
Yeah, that person is fucking... Cameron Diaz and Leonardo DiCaprio, he also worked out at the same gym. They were fucking famous where you felt the heat from their fucking body famous. But I still wouldn't go if she was like, oh, hey, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, a fucking celebrity. Yeah. I met
Leo, and I was like, oh, shit, that's fucking Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Holy shit.
But I still wouldn't get starstruck. I did that with GSP, I think, when we went and interviewed Henzo Gracie. I got a little bit like, fuck it.
Hey, champ. I was like, oh, man. Fucking blew it, dude.
I grabbed him on the shoulder. I was like, hey, what's up, champ?
He was nice, though.
He was a really nice guy. Let's see, Ryan Chipperson, what is your favorite Attell joke? Mine is, I hate to travel. I guess it's because my dad used to beat me with a globe. Favorite Attell joke? They're all fucking
Mine's
great.
Mine's one that I saw him do at the Cellar once, and he's never done it, and he can't do it, dude.
What is it?
It's so bad. I don't want to say it.
You don't want to get Dave Attell in trouble? That's how bad it is?
No, well, I mean, I think he doesn't do it on purpose because it's like, you know, I mean, it fucking, like, bombed 80% of the room, but... Me and our table, I never lasted. So I'll tell you off the thing.
He did a joke at the Cellar recently. He was just like ripping with the crowd, and he's like, "I think I'm gay." And then one guy goes, "You're not dressed well enough to be gay." He goes, "How you know I'm not undercover?"
Just so quick.
It's an old club one that he used to do. Just like, because he has all these like throwaway one lines, but this one used to always get me. He's like, "I used to do drugs, but that was way back there."
Okay, I'll say it.
He really is. So
Are you want to say?
Yeah,
what
say
is it?
He goes, Midgets don't want to be called midgets anymore. They want to be called little people, which is a lot better from what we used to call them, which was floor niggers. Dude, floor niggers is like the funniest thing. I mean, dude. I know why he doesn't do it, right? I mean, because like not everyone.
Yeah, because we live in a fucking pussy society.
We get it.
Can't just go like, that's just funny.
You should be able to name his album Floor Niggers. That's the funniest thing.
We're naming this episode Floor Niggers. Let's get real. Yes.
Dude, he is just fucking, he's the best. Like, he's so fucking funny.
All right, let's go. Steven Scales says, how many total inches of dick do you think Jared Fogle from Subway has had so far in prison? Over
probably
under,
I would
55
say
and a half.
Zero, because he's probably in what do you call it? Solitary.
Like protected fucking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're not letting that dude do anything by himself.
Yeah. Justin Crumblecake from the chat wants to know, when you meet a comedian, should you ask them to tell a joke? I think he's being funny.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
Yeah. No, nobody wants to do that.
Or you say know, you
it's
have
also,
a joke.
It also, like, in comedy, you know, and this is, it's almost like a hack thing to say where people, where comics complain about people coming up to them and say, oh, say something funny. Yeah, that's an annoying thing. But it's like, I don't know. It's like, if you're a magician, you fucking, you do, I mean, if somebody says, oh, I'm a magician, I might say, oh, dude, do a trick. It's not that crazy, you know? But yeah, that's pretty annoying when people come up to you and say something funny. It's like, this is work for us. At this point in comedy, it's genuinely work. You know what I'm saying? If I'm trying to say something or do something funny, yeah, I'm doing it for the sake of putting it on
you
stage.
You don't walk up to a welder podcast with two pieces of metal and tell him to connect them, though.
Yeah. It's true.
I don't know. If I saw David Blaine, I'd be like, hey, can you make my girlfriend disappear? What? What?
Sam H. wants to know, why do you think it's funny for guys to act gay?
I don't know. It just is.
Just is. I don't know. Because we were raised as, you know, being gay and being queer was a bad thing. You'd call your buddy gay. So it was like, it was a stigma. You're not supposed to act that way. It's misdirection. You know, it's yeah, just a pure, you know, when I'm walking down the street with Zach and then all of a sudden we clasp hands because there's a bunch of black kids behind us, walking behind us, and I think it's funny to freak those kids out, you know?
I do that to my dad at the mall.
Yeah.
I also, whenever me and my dad have dinner and he leaves to piss and the waitress comes, I always go, oh no, my boyfriend's paying, and let him sit there in the awkwardness.
Relis wants to know, what happened to the real ass sty? It went down a little bit. I didn't go to the doctor yet because my insurance, I had to choose a new general practitioner, start, and it had to start next month. So I'm going to the doctor next month to figure out my eye. But it went down. It just goes down. I've had basically the same. It's also not a sty, you fuck faces. It's a Calesian cyst. I've had it for nearly a year now, and it just kind of like gets smaller, and you can't really notice it.
When you get more stressed out with stuff, does it get bigger?
I don't know. I'm always extraordinarily stressed out.
Sty sounds a lot cooler than a cyst on your face.
Well, no, because I. Wait, hold on. What? What? There was another chat. Was it for you? Was it what happened to your upper lip?
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Rel List wants to know, where is Zach's top lip wrapped around your girlfriend's clit?
Okay. I mean, they can see you. They know it's not actually wrapped around her clit right now.
You do have a fucking weird top lip, dude.
Oh no, it's because I have all the shit in.
Oh really?
Yeah. Because I have three packs of snus in right now.
Dude, you know, do you have to do all the bad habits, Zach?
Trust me, I'm not cheating on my chick, and I'm not eating carbs right now. This is the fucking thing.
Fucking fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want to know, anyone seen Tinkle's girlfriend? Yeah, she's hot. Here's the thing about Tinkle that you guys got to understand. He dates chicks out of his league.
Way out of my league.
Way out of his league.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, all the girlfriends I've ever seen you had were ones you called them your girlfriends. I'm like, how did Tinkle fucking get this? I remember I met your one ex in San Fran. Then you showed me the picture of the one Australian girl who was smoking hot. Your girlfriend now is smoking hot. Tinkle, he has really high standards. And then when he finally convinces a girl to be with him, I think you must treat them like gold because they stick around a while.
I think so. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, but because my standards are so high, there's also long periods of where I'm don't get laid and I'm jacking off to check porn.
Yeah, that is good porn.
Dude.
I'm not a big fan of check porn.
Check. Oh, Jesus
Christ.
Because you do their spots all the time?
It is weird for him to like jack off something that makes him so sad.
Fuck, that was a good one.
I mean,
he's fucking so quick. God damn it.
Fuck, that was good. Woo! That was a good one.
No, I like when they speak English. I don't like the fucking reading.
I don't give a fuck about that. I need diversity. You know, I really need diversity in my life. I get bored of the same chicks. I mean, I end up like falling in love with certain porn girls for a little while. Yeah. Like, have you ever seen that chick, Ariana Marie? Pull her up, Ariana Marie. Not a naked picture because we want to keep it on YouTube. Just clothed, please. I mean, this chick is fucking like, goddamn. Like, why are you in porn? Why aren't you dating a multimillionaire? Where I said this on a, it was a fucking show or something. Wait, maybe it was this show. But it's like, if I was,
oh good Christ.
I mean, that's jizz, dude. You can't
I didn't put it up yet.
Fuckface.
I know.
Pull up a picture of her in her clothes. He pulled up a picture of her with cum all over her face and her ass showing.
Oh, I thought that was
not really showing. It could be milk.
Horrible sour cream accident.
Look at this broad, dude. All right. I mean, like, if I was this hot,
I don't know. She looks kind of hotter with cum on her face.
I
got one.
Just fucking pull it out.
Oh, man. Got it. Let me see this.
Look at her. Oh, look at this broad, dude. If I was this hot, I would have some 95-year-old dude's dick in my mouth that's a multimillionaire, and then I'd fucking kill him in his sleep or something. I don't know. There's just no reason to be that hot and to get fucked on camera. And I don't give a fuck what these young feminist bitches say. There's nothing empowering about it. There's nothing awesome about it, okay? I've interviewed a lot of porn stars. I've hung out with a lot of porn stars. I like porn stars. But you can't sit here and go, girls and guys that are fucking on camera for money, you can't tell me that it is a normal, brave act of empowerment. If you're fucking on camera for money, you're prostituting yourself, and 99% of the time, something happened in your life wrong that put you there. Okay. Yeah. But I'm saying if something happened that wrong that put me there, I would rather just fuck some old guy and become his girlfriend than just get pounded out on camera by so many dudes and have your family, your friends, your father probably doesn't even talk to you anymore after this.
Not even an old guy. Some just like Wolf of Wall Street type motherfucker.
Anthony Cumia. How is Anthony Cumia not dating that chick?
She can't take a punch.
Yeah,
you see me and Lewis again on the Anthony Cumia show on March 9th.
Yeah, we're going on together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, I set that one up, big boy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I have a new girl, Danny Daniels. I follow her on Snapchat.
Oh, is she good?
Perfect.
Danny Daniels, yeah.
I've seen her. I've seen them all because you know what I do? I go into the list of the hottest porn stars of 2016 because then you get all the unknowns that you didn't hear about.
Yeah.
You got to get the girls who just turned 18, 19. They're brand new to the industry, and then I get bored of them. Like, what's that other chick? Dillian Harper. Yeah, he's pulling her up. We have. Yeah, she's cute. I don't like big tits in porn though.
She doesn't have big tits though. They're like full.
I'm looking at them, dude.
They're pulled up by a bra.
Big fucking tits.
They're full C's.
Yeah, that's pretty big, dude. Yeah, she's hot. But you like that fucking Italian big thighed, big titted. Like I want a girl to look like she just dropped out of high school. I mean,
not graduated. Dropped out. Yeah. Note that.
She's getting fucked by a black guy on camera. She didn't graduate. We know that. Okay.
All these porn people on social media, they need to like give you a warning, dude. Sometimes you're not like, you know, paying attention. I just look down and there's just her fucking snatch.
Yeah. Well, that's what's cool about Twitter. Twitter enables you to do nudes and shit. Whereas there's no other social. Instagram doesn't allow you to do naked. Facebook doesn't allow you to go naked. Mm-hmm.
Snapchat does.
Snapchat and Twitter are where it's at.
That's it, man. Mm-hmm. Facebook. What do you guys think about the new Facebook emotions?
Don't like it.
I haven't been on Facebook in 5 days.
Have you not seen the emotions?
I don't know.
Look at this.
Emotions.
You haven't seen this, dude?
No.
Am I the only one who's obsessed with fucking social media?
You're just obsessed about Facebook. I don't.
Here, look at this. So if you scroll over somebody's thing, right, this comes up. So you can like, love, you can scream haha, you could open your mouth, go wow, you could cry, or you could be angry. So it's not just liking it anymore. Now they give you every emotion across the board.
That still feels disingenuous. Like if somebody's dad dies, I'm not going to post the crying face.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Dude, I'm only posting angry just faces happy. And ha-has for anything. Anything. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go through my wall right now, try to find somebody dying, and post a ha-ha.
We're post an angry face on that guy and his baby.
What they need is like a one of those emoticons that is eye rolling for when people like that other Allison, whatever the fuck her name is, when she does that dumb shit.
The clumps.
We need like a eye rolling thing for that. Yeah. Or like a.
Yeah, I think there should be a white knight for whenever guys comment on those.
Yeah.
Dude. Oh my fucking God.
How come he's not a black knight? What the fuck, Zach?
I think that makes me more angry than anything else is. Dude, feminists. Jonas Barnes really pissed me off the other day. Jonas, who used to do the Hammer Fisting podcast.
Well, he
with
just
us.
Likes any fucking Booker status.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah. That's such a transparent young shit.
Or girls
comic.
That try to blow up a Booker spot on Facebook statuses.
I don't know what that was.
We'll talk about it off air. Okay.
So, that's anybody who just is constantly liking somebody who books a show's status, it's really irritating. But Jonas does this thing where he like panders to Marissa from SiriusXM. So she posted this thing about Misha and Holly not being the main event, right? So he went off on this whole white knight horseshit where he's like, you know, I just don't like any time that they don't have a championships headline a pay-per-view event. And then I had to chime in. I was like, well, actually, Jonas, it's against the rules. It's the reason it's such a big deal is because this is the first time that it's happening since they made this fucking rule. So you actually don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. You're just talking out of your ass. But I was like, dude, I was like, I get it. If you're looking for the dude feminist, look, everyone needs to be equal angle, that's fine. But if you can't understand why Conor McGregor is headlining over Miesha Tate and Holly Holm, who have received no press for this fight at all, a guy who, I mean, literally, it's a disservice to Miesha Tate and Holly Holm to put Conor McGregor before them, because what would happen as soon as his fight was over,
oh, they'd leave.
Everyone would fucking leave, and they would have an emptying out arena and people booing two of the best female fighters in the world, and it's actually really bad for female mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. It's horrible for female mixed martial arts.
I'm sorry, men fighting are better than women. They're just they're,
not
the
always.
The punches are strong. No, look,
Ronda versus Holly is a great high-level fight, and I would say that that's a better fight than most of the fights that are on the undercard.
Yes, but most of the time, though, men are better fights than women.
Agreed. Guys have just evolved more in the sport. They move faster. They hit harder. They understand the game of mixed martial arts more right now, so it's a better aesthetic fight to actually watch. Yeah. But even beyond all that, everybody wants to watch fucking Conor. It doesn't matter who's going after Conor. Right now, Conor McGregor is the fucking show, and if he's not headlining a card, I feel bad for anybody who has to follow him. It's like following Chappelle at a comedy club now. It's like, people are going to the bathroom, motherfucker. You think that Chappelle's going to go do 2 hours, and you think you're going to go up right afterwards, and people go, oh, yeah, more comedy. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you hope the host does five in between.
Yeah, that's it, dude. Go do some time, dude. Can you put somebody else up next, please? So, all right. It's been a good show so far, guys. We're about to wrap up here in a second. Got anything to plug, boys?
I got March 10th. Come to New York Comedy Club. Use the code word beer for $5 tickets. Lewis is going to be on the show.
Hell yeah, March 10th, baby.
And it's going to be a fun show. Come on out. This Sunday, I'll be at the Brokerage. Come check that out. It's a good show.
Sweet. Thanks.
Mm. I'm going to be, I'm going to be in California for like 3 weeks, end of March and in April, and I'll be headlining the Punchlines, SAC, and San Francisco, and then I'll be middling a couple of those days too. So
nice.
March 8th, I am making my triumphant return to Bar None for my buddy Josh's show. March 9th, me and Lewis are going to be on the Anthony Cumia show, killing it.
Yeah.
And March 11th, I'm on the Naked Show at the Creek in the Cave. Thank you, Allison, for booking me.
Fuck yeah, Allison.
And then follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. Snapchat Zach Amico's dick.
Yeah, before you even start the outro music, Maddie, I just want really quick, Zach as well. I think we can announce this one show because we're starting to come up with programming for Skankfest. We are combining the two hottest shows in New York City.
It's very exciting.
The Naked Show and the Roast Battle. We're doing a Naked Roast Battle at Skankfest, hosted by Zach Amico.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
Do you also have to be naked?
I don't have to be. I want to.
Are you going to come in between, put some underwear on, or just the whole naked the whole time?
No, I'm just Ric Flair robe, dick and balls out.
Yeah.
All right, funny comment. Darth Cray says, I think Lewis's thigh jumped onto Tinkle's face.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty good. It's just fucking a sty walking around the table and just jumping onto people.
It's like hiding in the shadows.
So guys, we are giving out more information for Skankfest. It's myself and Rebecca from The Creek in the Cave and Christine Evans as well, who produces a ton of great shows. We're putting this on. I know Big J is headlining a show. I know Ari Shaffir is going to be headlining one of the shows. We're going to have nonstop content, and we're going to get some. We're talking to a few huge names right now. Unfortunately, we can't announce the names until a couple months out because we have to make sure all the schedules align. But
so far, my dick is the headliner of Skankfest.
Yeah. Okay, guys, listen, you guys are fucking dope. Go to my website, gomezcomedy.com, gomezcomedy on Instagram. I will be in Portland, Oregon coming up in April, so look out for those dates. And next Friday, I am headlining a show in Westchester. I'm going to post it on Facebook and Twitter today. So if you guys are up in the Westchester area, some barbecue house or whatever. I don't know. But you guys are the shit. Thanks for listening to the Real Ass Podcast. Gas Digital Network, coming soon, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's all, folks.